yoytze or you're not yoytze. The Gemara now is discussing an oihel regarding to Tumma according to Rabbi Yehuda. And then we're going to get back to our Mishnah to see what the machloikis of Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is regarding sleeping under a sukkah. The Gemara said that the Gemara brought a Mishnah in Olus that a oihel that's not made bidei Adam, it's not man-made, it wasn't made for the intention of being an oihel, Rabbi Yehuda holds not going to be considered an oihel. Therefore, a natural oihel made by a hole in a rock somewhere, or shrotzim ate into a rock, or you know someone had a pile of rocks.
According to
Rabbi Yehuda, pashto wouldn't be an oil because kol oil she'ena osa b'dei adam is not an oil. It's a natural made oil. It's not an oil.
Lives in and does everything inside.
It's not an oil. And the Gemara said, what's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? We learn about gzeir shava oil hoil mishkan. Just like by mishkan, Od says adam ki yomas boil the word oil, and it says by Moshe Rabbeinu when he spread over the covering over the Mishkan says oil. Malahal midi odnaf kam midi odnaf. I saw they bring a shayla. It's supposed to be the medrash as the Mishkan was stood up b'neis hayoyim then. So it was so why is it considered midi odam? Some want to say that the krushim were b'neis hayoyim then went up by itself. But the oil, the covering, actually was Moshe Rabbeinu put up the covering. So that's called the oil asa midi odam.
But the Bavli doesn't agree with that medrash. The Bavli said right. The Moshe Rabbeinu did it. And Hashem
that's what you have to say. Helped him, right? The pasuk Chumash did.
Yeah.
So that's that. Rabbanon, oil riba. There's extra words oil in that parasha that's coming to be marba. Any type of oil, even an oil that's also b'dayod, that's not also b'dayod, is also considered an oil. So the Gemara continues. With Sover Rabbi Yehuda, there's a Yehuda hold kol oil she'ena osa b'dei adam, that an oil that's not made b'dei adam to serve as a purpose of an oil. Ain oil is not an oil. But Aminu, I'll ask you a steer. There's a Mishnah in Parah. Basically, the background is the pasuk says va'osaf ishtor, the kohen that deals with the paraduma, the burning of the paraduma and the efer paraduma, says va'osaf ishtor. The efer, the maisa hapor is done through an ishtor. The tzdukim learned that ishtor means someone that's totally tor. In other words, someone that becomes tamei and already goes to the mikveh during the day to become tor from his tuma has the status of a tvul yoim. He went right into the mikveh, he's tovel, but it's still day. He has to wait till the night, harif shemesh, he has to wait till the evening to completely tor. So the tzedukim darshan v'asav ishtar means someone that's totally tor, already has, in addition to the tefillah, already has also herif shemesh, wait all the way to that night. The chachamim darshan, we darshan, that no, v'asav ishtar, even similar to meiser, that even someone that's only had tefillah, is called, he's a tvul yoim, could also be oisik in the paraduma, the efer paraduma, and burning of the paraduma. So in order to get to show that we're not going to do like the tzedukim, so the Mishnah Parah says they were metame koyin on purposefully, and they were metame the koyin, and he became tomei, and then he went quickly to the mikveh. He went to the mikveh, so he was a tful yoim, and he did the paraduma right away, even before nightfall, to show that paraduma that we darshan asaf ishtar means that anyone that's went to the mikveh, sure, yeah, even though before a tful yoim, could still do the parah. But because they were worried that people might be lax in the Indian from Paraduma, that here on the one hand, that Stukim hold, you need even someone that's even more tahar, that's completely tahar, that he even has hair shemesh. And the Chamam, we darshan that a tvul yoim is also good enough. And then we're afraid that we're going to be lax when it comes to the tahar of the being tahar, benegeya Paraduma. So they instituted many, many stringencies to show that no, we're very makbid on paraduma, how one should be tahor and how complete retire it should be done. But the tvul yoim part that we hold, so the metamehim that was done, and he did the mikveh, and right away did the parah before harif shemesh. But they instituted many stringencies. So the Mishnah explains what these stringencies were. Chatzeres hoyu benuyis b'Yerushalayim. They were courtyards built in Yerushalayim al gavasel, on top of a bedrock, which is not likely that under this bedrock that's there from Sheshis and Mibereshus that there's any buried dead people, dead bodies underneath this bedrock. In addition to that, they were also machmer to do it like this. B'tachteim, and underneath these courtyards, they built it halal, that it should be a halal. Why? Mipnei kever hatahoim. In other words, they wanted to avoid that just in case there is tumah, a dead body underneath this bedrock. So we have a klal of tumah ritzutze, tumah that's trapped by kaz voila, shoots right up. And it goes straight above and it's metame everything above it. But if you have a halal tefach, so then the tumah gets trapped, then it stays in there. Then if there's an oil of a tefach, then it stays in there and it doesn't go beyond that. So they built like arches to have a halal tefach.
So
even if on top of the selah, right? And so even if there would be a tumah on the bottom, it would not go on top, past this halal, and it would get trapped there. Why? If they kever hatoim, Rashi says the words kever hatoim, tohim is the bottom of the ground all the way down. The lashon kever hatoim is always referred to in Shas as the lashon sofek, maybe a sofek tumah. They kever hatoim, Rashi says kol shem kever hatoim v'tumas hatoim shebishas lashon sofek hu ketoim, just like the tohim, the bottom of all the way down. Inside the ground, it's not galui. It's not, we can't see it. Any tumah that we, it's not, it's a suffix, it's called kevra toim. Because there was a suffix that maybe there's a body there, and it's going to be metama all the way up. It's going to be tumah ritzutza by kazvoila to stop the tumah from going past the rock. They made an oichalal tefach, a arch, and so it got you know, it couldn't go through. They brought the pregnant women over there to this place in Yerushalayim, the Yol Deshom, and they gave birth over there. Umegadlis b'neim, and they brought up their children there lapara, for the purpose of paraduma. And Rashi says they till like 7-8 years old, and then they participated in drawing of the water. They went to the water to get the water that they spritzed afterwards on the koyin. The Mishnah Parah says they spritzed on the koyin for the whole 7 days. The koyin was hufrash. Just like by Yom Kippurim, Mafrish and Koyin Gadol, Lalishka, Shivas Yom Koyin Yom Kippurim, the Koyin that was doing the process of the Parah was also Hufrash 7 days beforehand, and they spritzed water on him for the first 7 days before the Parah. So these children were grew up there. And Rashi says they were about 7-8 years old, because once they reach 9 years old, there's a chashash they're going to come Tomei Tumas Keri. So at that age, it sounds like they were living there. I don't know where these women normally lived, but it seems like they came there to that spot, Chatzeres, or maybe a bigger area. All the Chatzeres, I don't know, Chatzeres Hoyibnu is Yerushalayim, and that's where they grew up, in order to have these chumras and stringencies that to make sure that these kids don't become Tomei from Tomemes. So they were there from the beginning, before their birth, and they stayed there, so just in case there's any tum, if they're going to walk around anywhere else in Yerushalayim, maybe there's a kura there, no halal tefach, and they would become tamei tumei meis.
Really, really, there's no chash, because they have the cheska, the chazaka,
the cheska's tayre. So you have to be, the suffix wouldn't be enough to be moitzer, right. So these are extra special stringencies, only because we used the coin that had its full yoim, and to show that we're not lax, then we need matakonis on top of takonis to make this really special. Can up to 13? Up to, right, an ish. Right.
For the hazor,
right, correct. And on top of that,
Tysus in other places says that he wasn't mamish at full yom, that there was a tomb of the Rabbanim that another kind touched him.
Right, right. Correct. And the Rambam sounds like the Shiratzim touched him, that he brought actual real tumah from the Rambam.
Yeah,
the actual Matamah
but
tumah sheretz.
They were tumah when they were born anyway. Tumah's learns that you're not chayshish.
Tumah's leder? Which one? Tumah's what?
Tumah's
leder? Neder? Right.
But Tumah's says we only were.
Right, yeah. I'm learning the Gemara according to Rashi. Yeah. Very good. So, Bekitzer, On top of this, they even instituted umevin shvarim. They brought big oxen, and v'algabeyan. These kids, when they travel, these children, when they travel to get the water, v'algabeyan dlosis. So they were sitting on top of the shvarim, but it wasn't. The shvarim were actually very big and wide, and technically that itself is an oil. It would stop the tumah from, even if they would go through the tumah, and it wouldn't be halal or whatever the problem when they're getting out of. you know, their spot there on these chatzeres, and they're going to draw the water. How are you going to take care of the problem there? So that the animal actually was considered oil. We'll see later. But on top of that, they put losses. They put doors on top, like a flat board, a door on top of the shvarim. And the tinoikis yoishon agabem, and the children, we used to sit on that. The koisa shaleven, and that cups made out of stone. Rashi says cups out of stone is not makabel tumah. Three types of cups, that's not makabel tumah. If it's made from the ground, and if it's made out of dung, and if it's made out of rock. These are the three types of material that's not makabel tumah. So because shall even be a dayim, he gilu shiluach. They got to the mayan shiluach. Yardu, they went off these oxen, and they went latoich hamayim into the water umilum, and they filled up the koyz with water. Va'alu, and they went back up. V'yoshulam, and they sat back on top of it. Now this manda omar, Rashi says, holds it's not enough for them to lower a rope and draw the water through that way. They have to get into the water and be mamalut from the water.
What's the difference?
And obviously not choishes.
Yeah, no, because the
usually
water
there's
is
no
not ta-
the water is not tame.
Right? And if the shar went into the water and they went down
all so the way down.
Yeah, so there's no
chashash. No chashash, right? I guess there is a chashash rochik. The reason why they were now worried, maybe there's a kever underneath this mayon. Typically, people don't bury anybody under a stream, under something like that. But maybe this
mayon. The Gemara only is.
Correct.
Anything else
is not a problem.
So even if there's a kevet, the home shouldn't become tamei.
Right. Why they went into the water? This man wasn't worried about them getting off the shore right next to the river, to the mayon, and getting water from there.
The shore went into the mayon. What's the problem?
Okay. Did it say it went into the mayon? Went next to the mayon. They had to put their foot first and maybe on the ground for a second. Again, these were all takonis.
There
wasn't a real chashash, yeah?
So when they went down, they went down over the mayim.
Okay, but maybe they went down over the mayim or foot before the mayim. And that's exactly what... But the next man, Omar, from the place, they stood on top of the shvarim, on top of the oxen, and Mishalshul, they lowered down a rope, and Malay. Also, when they time, so Pasha, it seems like Rabbi Yossi was worried that there might be a sophic tumor underneath the mayon. So if they didn't come off and they lowered a rope, and that's how they got the water. V'tanya, we're looking at Brayis. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Lo hoyu mevin dlosos." They bechal didn't bring these dlosos. I did see why is it dlosos? Why didn't they stand a board, stand a piece of wood? Maybe if there would have been a piece of wood, then it's meant to sit on, that itself would make it. And it could be makabel tumah itself, but dalsis is made for a door. It's not made l'shchivo to sit on it, so it wouldn't be makabel tumah. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda oimer lo hoyim mevin dalsis. They didn't even bring dalsis at all. Ela shvarim. It was enough. These shvarim were so wide, the big fat shvarim. It was wide. That served as the oil, and you didn't need any dalsis.
The dalsis have a best kibbutz.
Does Dallas have a base kibble?
Sure. The hole? The hinge? In other words, they had a hole.
That's called the base kibble, enough for Thomas Caleb?
Well, because they didn't go there. Why? Even if it's not...
Is it functional? No, not in that, but it's functional. Is it base kibble? Here. So here the Gemara is going to ask the Kasha. A steer of Raminu from back here. This is going to be a steer of Rabbi Yehuda. These shvarim, the oil shein also be the adam who. This is not an oil that was also be the adam. If you would have had dalsis, the dalsis was specially made for another form of an oil that just in case there is a tumor somewhere, we're afraid their feet are going to stick out. That was the reason originally we brought the dalsis, afraid their feet are going to stick off the para. So they brought these dalsis maybe to have them totally. On the glosses, there should be no toma. So if there would have been glosses, Rabbi Yehuda would have held this glosses. That serves as my oil. That's an oil also b'day adam. But Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says lohem evin glosses. The bechal didn't bring glosses. El shvarim, all you had is the shvarim. Vashvarim is the oil she'ain also b'day adam. The shor, that oil of the shor, his body serves as an oil. That's an oil that's not made man made.
When you make the shor walk. So where he's mile on, you brought it there. So that's also the other, no?
the etzim oil that you're saying the oil should.
It doesn't mean the material.
Material.
It doesn't mean the material. It means when you.
Whose kasha is this? Is your kasha?
Yeah.
Okay, I hear. I don't know enough of oil. But the Gemara is asking. It's the shvarim.
What's a teret?
He's thinking.
The terrace, you have to know that traveling oil is that mafsik.
That's true. Oil zorik. The place is discussed, oil zorik.
So it could be that since the source of oil is zorik, the kula alma, that you can't call that us b'day adam.
Okay. The tzir of here. The combination that it's an oil zorik and the oil itself is not us b'day adam, we can't call it an oil. Okay. In fact, the Gemara, it's an oil she'en osu b'dei adam hu, v'ktoni Reb Yehuda oimer, lohoi mevi'in d'losez ela shvarim. So you see that shayr serves as an oil, even though it's not osu b'dei adam. So how do you reconcile that Reb Yehuda with the Reb Yehuda of the Mishnah, the Reb Yehuda says over there, in reference to Tumah, that kol oil she'en osu b'dei adam is not an oil. Here we see in this Mishnah from the Mishnah in Parah, would be mevor the way Reb Yehuda learns that there was no d'losez, that oil that's not made by the Adam is an oil. So chayr to stirus Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Lazar. Correct, but I guess we made a special chumah. On top of that, we made the glosses, so you have at least the glosses. But if you only are relying on the shvarim, then what did you gain? You're asking even if the glosses, we still had the shvarim for that reason also. So how did the shvarim serve as a purpose? Rabbi Lazar answered, "Moid Rabbi Yehuda k'maloi egreif." When it's only the Mishnah in all this is talking about when there's only a tefach, which is normally a big enough of a size to be considered an oil, but it's the minimum amount, the shear of an oil. There he holds, if it's not also by the adam, it's not considered an oil. Here, the case of from the ground till the shoyer was much more, was k'maloi egreif, a fistful. And Rashi says it's a fist of the egreif of Ben Avtiach. So you are a very big person. It means it was a lot big, it's bigger than a tefach, much bigger than a tefach. So if you have an oil that's much bigger than a tefach, that oil, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that even if it's not osu b'dei adam, it's still going to be considered an oil.
Why do you have to say it was the k'maloi egreif of somebody else? Why is it anything above a k'maloi
egreif? Above a tefach?
Anything above a standard tefach?
A standard tefach.
I don't know what the case is.
Stam tefach is a fist. So it has to be a huge fist. Why? That's how we're bringing out that it's bigger than a tefach.
In the Mishnah that we said earlier, a tefach alone, anything on is telling you the chiddush that up until a tefach is in oil. Once it exceeds a tefach, it's fine. Why do you have to go to say it's a huge tefach?
Because the stam, your fist is a tefach.
No, okay, you need it more than a tefach to be considered an oil in the first place. Anything up to a tefach is not an oil.
It's mechal not an oil.
Above a tefach, how much more than a tefach? Right. You need at least a tefach, but if it's a little, if it's a tefach or a drop more, that's an oil. That's only an oil if it's also b'dei adam. If it's not also b'dei adam, it's not an oil. Once it hits large enough, k'maloi egreif of a large person, which is much bigger than a tefach, that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's going to be considered an oil, even though it's not also b'dei adam.
Cube of that tefach.
Right, the deep and height and everything.
That tefach is a lot bigger than the regular
tefach. Tanya namahochi, we learned like that also in a prayer. So moid Rabbi Yehuda is moid b'shkifin. If you had like a rock that was uprooted from its place and it creates a big gap and a big hole, and that a big huge hole, but it happened naturally like that. Or ben akikya sloim, cracks in a rock, which creates a bigger crack than a tefach. There's a larger holes there, so you have an oil now that's larger than a tefach. Rabbi Yehuda is moide. This goes back on that mission and olas that Rabbi Yehuda is moide b'shkifin. But when the kikya asloim, that if it's much that it's larger than a tefach, there Rabbi Yehuda agrees that even an oil that's not made b'dei adam is going to be considered an oil. So that's how we're answering this tira on Rabbi Yehuda. Frak the Gemara, we're going back now to the mission and parah. Frak the Gemara, no anu kasha. V'harei delas the door the yesh bo kama egreifin. The delas, in other words, the Gemara and the Havanah thought and felt now that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't want to have a delas bichlal. Why? Because he holds it's not going to be. It's not an oil. It's not meant for. Rashi explains it's not meant for an oil. Kosal kedaiter Rashi says mishum de in derech oil bekach. That's not a derech oil. No, there's not derech an oil to put a board on top of an animal. That should serve as my oil. So there's kamei groifin there. And so there's a larger space. And still you tell me because it's not the derech like that, so it means it's not meant, so it wasn't made as
So kolshkin
shvarim, the shoyer, Rashi says, shouldn't serve as an oil either. So if Rabbi Huda took away the delis, even though there's kamei groifin, because it's not the derech to make an oil.
Once Rabbi Huda said that the losses are not good, he should also say
shvarim. Say the shvarim are not good, correct.
Has nothing to do with the egret, it doesn't the egret.
So why is it, but the Gemara uses the language,
right?
Where delis, the yesh by kamei groifin. I guess if it doesn't have an egroif, it's bechlal not an oil according to Rabbi Huda. But if it has an egroif, you're telling me it can be an oil, even not b'nei Adam. And that's why these shvorim served as an oil, even though it wasn't b'nei Adam. So then let the delos be, because the delos also has kamei groifim. And if the delos has a problem, for whatever reason the problem is, Rashi says, because ain't derech oil bekach, so then the shvorim shouldn't be an oil either. That's the Gemara's kasha. And for the Gemara, not that it wouldn't work. You didn't have to bring it because he already had an oil out of the shvarim. But if you're right, if he would have meant to say that oil is that the losses are not good, then we have a kasha, the shvarim shouldn't be good either. I mean, he didn't have to come on to the losses.
You didn't over here the Gemara doesn't bring down that each kohen gadol when he did paraduma used to build a special bridge.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't. Why doesn't it bring it down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's bringing down everything else. It's not okay to us.
I guess. Rava Omar, Rava says, Lohem, even the loss is called Iker. Not that they didn't need to bring the losses. Rava learns Pshat and Rabbi Huda, there was a reason why they didn't bring the losses. For a reason. The Bedavka did not bring the losses. Why? If he has a board there at losses and he feels like he's sitting on a nice, huge, comfortable platform, he's going to peek over, he's going to put his hand, he's going to wiggle his feet off of it, and Vaita is going to have the problem. He's going to stick out his head, he's going to become Tame Bekeber at the home. Just going to go three lines, it's a continuation. Tani Kavasi the Rava, and Raya to Rava, the way he learns, Rabbi Huda Oimer. And there's a brayser right to Rav, the way he explains Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, maybe the losses call liquor. He didn't bring the losses b'chlal for a reason. If they should die, they should take a gas olav. Shem yoytzi roishu yechad mevarav v'yitma bekever atoim. He's going to come tomei bekever atoim because he's going to stick one of his limbs out. El mevin shvorin amitzrim. You brought Egyptian big oxen. She creates the same that their stomachs were chovers and great, big and wide. But the tenoikis yeshu magavim the koyis shalevim b'yadeim and the cups of stone on their hands. Higil shaluach. They got to the mayon, to the spring. Yoridu. They went down. Umilum. They filled up these koyis with water. Ve'olun. They went back on. Ve'yoshvulein al gabeyan. And they sat on top of it.